You're listening to the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
And overturned by competent and credible proof. It is therefore incumbent upon the state, before you can convict that defendant, to establish to your satisfaction beyond a reasonable doubt that the crime charged in the indictment has been committed, that the same was committed within the county of Shelby in the state of Tennessee before the finding of this indictment, and that the defendant at the bar committed the crime in such manner that would make her guilty under the law heretofore defined and explained to you. The law presumes that the defendant is innocent of the charge against her. This presumption remains with the defendant throughout every stage of the trial, and it is not overcome unless from all the evidence in the case you are convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant is guilty. Burden of proof general. The state has the burden of proving the guilt of the defendant beyond a reasonable doubt, and this burden never shifts but remains on the state throughout the trial of the case. The defendant is not required to prove her innocence. Reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt is that doubt created by an investigation of all the proof in the case and an inability after such investigation to let the mind rest easily as to the certainty of guilt. Absolute certainty of guilt is not demanded by the law to convict of any criminal charge, but moral certainty is required. And this certainty is required as to every element of proof necessary to constitute the offense. Burden of proof, elements and date of offense. The state must have proven beyond a reasonable doubt all the elements of the crime charge and that it was committed before the finding and returning of the indictment in this case. Impeachment of witness. A witness may be impeached by proving that he or she has made some material statements out of court which are at variance with the witness's evidence on the stand. However, proof of such prior inconsistent statements may be considered by you only for the purpose of testing the witness's credibility and not as substantive evidence of the truth of the matter asserted in such out-of-court statements. Excuse me. Further, a witness may be impeached by a careful cross-examination involving the witness in contradictory, unreasonable, and improbable statements. However, immaterial discrepancies or differences in the statements of witnesses do not affect their credibility unless it plainly appears that some witness has testified falsely. When a witness is thus impeached, the jury has the right to disregard his or her evidence and treat it as untrue, except where it is corroborated by other credible testimony about the facts and circumstances proved on the trial. Credibility of witnesses. You should consider all the evidence presented in this case by the state and by the defendant and give it a full, fair, and impartial consideration. Part of your responsibility is to determine what the facts are, based on what you heard from the witnesses. If there are conflicts in the testimony of different witnesses, it is your duty to reconcile them if you can, for the law presumes that every witness has told the truth. But when you cannot reconcile the statements of different witnesses, then you must decide which witness or witnesses you believe and how important his or her testimony was. You do not have to accept or reject everything a witness said. You are free to believe all, none, or part of any person's testimony. In forming your opinion as to which witness you believe, you may consider the following factors. 1. How the witness looked, acted, and whether the witness appeared to be telling the truth when he or she testified. 2. Whether the witness was in a position to know about the manner to which he or she testified. In other words, how well could the witness see or hear what he or she testified he or she saw or heard. 3. Whether the witness's statements were consistent and how believable the statements were. 4. Whether the witness had a motive to testify truthfully or to testify untruthfully. And 5. Any proof presented of the witness's reputation for telling the truth. Another factor for you to consider in evaluating a witness's testimony is whether the witness's testimony during cross-examination appeared to be contradictory, unreasonable, and improbable. However, immaterial or minor discrepancies or differences should not affect the believability of a witness unless it plainly appears that the witness has willfully testified falsely. In forming your opinion as to the credibility of a witness, you may look to the proof, if any, of his or her general character, the evidence, if any, of the witness's reputation for truth and veracity, the intelligence and respectability of the witness, his or her interest or lack of interest in the outcome of the trial, his or her feelings, his or her apparent fairness or bias, his or her means of knowledge, the reasonableness of his or her statements, his or her appearance and demeanor while testifying, his or her contradictory statements as to material matters, if any are shown, and all the evidence in the case tending to corroborate or contradict him or her. Expert witness. During the trial, you heard the expert testimony of Erica Curry, a forensic pathologist, Dr. Amanda R. Bidding, Dr. Amanda R. Bidding, PhD in forensic and clinical psychology, and Special Agent Brock Sane in firearms identification, all were who would describe to us as experts in their fields. The rules of evidence provide that if scientific, technical, or other specialized knowledge might assist the jury in understanding the evidence or in determining a fact and issue, a witness qualified as an expert by reason of special knowledge, skill, or experience may testify and state his or her opinions concerning such matters and give reasons for his or her testimony. Merely because an expert witness has expressed an opinion does not mean, however, that you are bound to accept this opinion. The same as with any other witness. It is up to you to decide whether you believe this testimony and choose to rely upon it. Part of that decision would depend on your judgment about whether the witness's background or training and experience is sufficient for the witness to give the expert opinion that you heard. You must also decide whether the witness's opinions were based on sound reasons, judgment, and information. You are to give the testimony of an expert witness such weight and value as you think it deserves, along with all the other evidence in the case. Identification. The court charges you that the identity of the defendant must be proven in the case on the part of the state to your satisfaction beyond a reasonable doubt. In other words, the burden of proof is on the state to show that the defendant now on trial before you is the identical person who committed the alleged crime with which she is charged. In considering the identity of a person, the jury may take into consideration all the facts and circumstances in the case. The court further charged you that if you are satisfied from the whole proof in the case beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant, Latasha Daniels, committed the crime charged against her, and you are satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that she has been identified as the person who committed the crime charged, then it would be your duty to convict her. On the other hand, if you are not satisfied with the identity from the proof, or you have a reasonable doubt as to whether she has been identified from the whole body of the proof in the case, then you should return a verdict of not guilty. Evidence, direct and circumstantial. One type of evidence is called direct evidence, and the other type is called circumstantial evidence. Direct evidence is those parts of the testimony admitted in court which refer to what happened and was testified to by witnesses who saw or heard what happened firsthand. If witnesses testify about what they themselves saw or heard, or otherwise sense, they presented direct evidence. Circumstantial evidence is all the testimony and exhibits which give you clues about what happened in an indirect way. It consists of all the evidence which is not direct evidence. Do not assume that direct evidence is always better than circumstantial evidence. According to our laws, direct evidence is not necessarily better than circumstantial evidence. Either type of evidence can prove a fact if it is convincing enough. A defendant may be convicted on direct evidence, circumstantial evidence, or both. It is your duty to decide how much weight to give the direct and circumstantial evidence. The law makes no distinction between the weight that you should give to either one, or say that one is any better evidence than the other. You should consider all the evidence, both circumstantial, both direct and circumstantial, and give it whatever way you believe it deserves. Defendant testifying. The defendant having testified in her own behalf, her credibility is to be determined by the same rules that the credibility of other witnesses is determined. And you will give to the defendant's testimony in this case such weight as you may think it is entitled. Unanimous verdict. The verdict must present the considered judgment of each juror. In order to return a verdict, it is necessary that each juror agree thereto. Your verdict must be unanimous. It is your duty as jurors to consult with one another and to deliver with a view to reaching an agreement. If you can, do so without violence to individual judgment. Each of you must decide the case for yourself, but do so only after an impartial consideration of the evidence with your fellow jurors. In the course of your deliberations, do not hesitate to re-examine your own views and change your opinion if convinced it is erroneous. But do not surrender your honest conviction as to the weight or effect of the evidence solely because of the opinion of your fellow jurors or for the mere purpose of returning a verdict. Unanimous means agreeing in opinion, being in complete accord, agreement of all jurors in holding one and the same opinion. Deliberation, order of consideration. In reaching your verdict, you should first consider the offense charged in the indictment. If you unanimously find the defendant guilty of that offense beyond a reasonable doubt, you shall return a verdict of guilty for that offense. If you unanimously find the defendant not guilty of that offense, or you have a reasonable doubt of the defendant's guilt of that offense, you shall then proceed to consider whether or not the defendant is guilty of the next lesser included offense in order from greatest to least within that count. You should not proceed to consider any lesser included offense until you have first made a unanimous determination that the defendant is not guilty of the immediately preceding greater offense, or you unanimously have a reasonable doubt of the defendant's guilt of that offense. If you have a reasonable doubt of the guilt of the defendant as to all offenses charged and including that account, you should return a verdict of not guilty and proceed to the next count. The charged offense in count one of this indictment is first degree murder. The lesser included offenses in order of consideration from greatest to least are second degree murder, voluntary manslaughter, reckless homicide, criminally negligent homicide. Verdict form. If you find the defendant guilty of the charged offense beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant guilty of first degree murder as charged in count one in indictment 2501253. If you unanimously find the defendant not guilty of this offense or have a reasonable doubt of her guilt of this offense, you will next consider her guilt of a lesser included offense in order of their consideration from greatest to least as set out on the previous page. If you unanimously find the defendant guilty of lesser included offense beyond a reasonable doubt, if you unanimously find the defendant guilty of a lesser included offense beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant guilty of blank as included in count one in indictment number 2501253, insert instead blank the lesser included offense. If you have a reasonable doubt of the defendant's guilt of the offenses charged and included in the count, it is your duty to acquit her, and your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant not guilty in count one of indictment number 2501253. You will write your verdict on the verdict form attached and sign one of your names to the verdict as for person. The charge defense in count two of this indictment is criminal attempt first degree murder. The lesser included offenses in order of consideration from greatest to least are criminal attempt second degree murder, criminal attempt voluntary manslaughter, reckless endangerment. If you find the defendant guilty of the charged offense beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant guilty of criminal attempt first degree murder as charged in count two and indictment number 2501253. If you unanimously find the defendant not guilty of this offense or have a reasonable doubt of her guilt to this offense, you will next consider her guilt of lesser included offense in order of their consideration from greatest to least as set out on the previous page. If you unanimously find the defendant guilty of a lesser included offense beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant guilty of blank as included in count two and indictment number 2501253. Insert and said blank the lesser included offense. If you have a reasonable doubt of the defendant's guilt of the offenses charged and included in the count, it is your duty to acquit her, and your verdict should be, We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty in count two of indictment number 2501253. You will write your verdict on the verdict form attached and sign one of your names to the verdict as foreperson. The charged offense in count three of this indictment is employing a firearm during a felony. The lesser included offense is possession of a firearm during a felony. Verdict form. If you find the defendant guilty of the charged offense beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant guilty of employment of a firearm during a felony as charged in count three in indictment number 2501253. If you find the defendant guilty of this charge, you must identify the felony, either criminal attempt first degree murder checkbox, criminal attempt second degree murder, criminal attempt voluntary manslaughter checkbox. If you unanimously find the defendant not guilty of this offense or have a reasonable doubt of her guilt of this offense, you will next consider her guilt of the lesser included offenses in order of their consideration from greatest to least as set out on the previous page. If you unanimously find the defendant guilty of a lesser included offense beyond a reasonable doubt, your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant guilty of blank as included in count three in indictment number 2501253, insert and said blank the lesser included offense. If you find the defendant guilty of the lesser included offense, you must identify the felony, either criminal attempt first degree murder, criminal attempt second degree murder, criminal attempt voluntary manslaughter. If you have a reasonable doubt of the defendant's guilt of the offenses charged and included in count three, it's your duty to acquit her, and your verdict should be, we the jury find the defendant not guilty in count two of indictment number 2501253. You will write your verdict on the verdict form attached and sign one of your names to the verdict as foreperson. Selecting foreperson. When you retire to the jury room, you will first select one of your members as foreperson who will preside over your deliberations. When you have reached a verdict, you return with it to this courtroom and your foreperson will announce the appropriate verdict form to the court. Take the case, consider all the facts and circumstances fairly and impartially and report to the court such verdict as truth dictates and justice demand. Signed, Judge Jennifer Fitzgerald, Criminal Court, Division 2. All right, so I have given you the law in this case. We're going to recess for lunch, and when we come back, you'll hear the attorney's closing arguments. And I have to remind you again, we're still not ready to discuss the case, okay? So I'm going to excuse you for lunch. We'll come back, I guess at 1:45. I'm not sure if lunch too yet. We'll come back at 1:45. But I'm going to excuse you for lunch, and we're still not ready to discuss the case.
Let's get the paperwork in your chairs, please.
With me in a disappearing text message. Who does that to someone that they love? I wanted him to feel the pain that I felt. These are the words of the defendant, Latasha Daniels. And earlier this week, we told you that you would hear a lot of testimony. You would see some pictures, you would see some videos, but most importantly, we wanted you to pay attention. And a key part of paying attention is not getting distracted, not getting confused as to who the victim is. The victims in this case are Mr. and Mrs. Perry, not the defendant. The decisions that she made caused them to be victims. And once we're finished here today, you'll see that this case really isn't that complicated. It's kind of easy. She's charged with 3 counts: first degree murder, criminal attempt first degree murder, and employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony. First degree murder, and you'll see this in your jury instructions, is defined as a premeditated killing of another. 1, the state has to prove that the defendant unlawfully killed a victim. 2, the defendant must have acted intentionally. 3, the killing must be premeditated. So, what is considered unlawful? Well, what is considered unlawful killing? One example can be the defense of others or yourself. Intentional. What does it mean to be intentional? Does it seem like an accident? Does it seem like a mistake? Your jury instructions say that something is intentional if it's a person's conscious objective or desire to cause the death of another person. 3, premeditation. The killing has to be premeditated. And as we learned in Vore Dyer, premeditation doesn't have to be a specific length of time. It could be 2 seconds, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. There's no time frame. It just means that you had to think about your actions and you had time to reflect. That could be as simple as stepping out of your car, raising your arm, and the time it takes you to point the firearm at someone and shoot and kill them. Or in this case, it could be driving to the gun store, purchasing a gun, purchasing ammunition, leaving the gun store, driving 3 hours to Memphis to your married ex-boyfriend's house, and knocking on their door. So this week, we started off hearing from Tabitha Perry. She testified that her husband was an executive pastor in Little Rock, and later he moved to Memphis along with her for a new position at Mississippi Boulevard, a prominent church here in Memphis. She also testified that they knew the defendant. They knew her from Little Rock when he was previously working over there. And on April 4th, 2019, Mrs. Perry heard a knock at her door. When she went to her door, the defendant was standing there. Now, she thought it was odd that Ms. Daniels was standing there, but she didn't think too much of it because they had given their address out to several people at the church in Little Rock. After she let her in, Mrs. Perry and the defendant sat and talked for about 20 minutes until Brotus Perry showed up. When Mr. Perry showed up, the defendant even told you that they sat and talked for a while. She even took a drink. And once she decided that it was time to go, Mrs. Perry and Mr. Perry led her out of their doorway. And as Mrs. Perry was leading her out of the doorway, she turned back and she saw the defendant reach into her coat pocket, remove a gun, and shoot Mr. Perry in his own doorway. Once she did that, Mrs. Perry looked to her neighbors for help. She tried to get help, and then when she saw her husband lying on the ground, she went to go help him. She pleaded with the defendant, "Why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Please stop." Well, not only did the defendant not stop, she shot Mrs. Perry. And not only did she shoot Mrs. Perry, she reloaded her gun. After Mrs. Perry, we heard from Detective Roberts. He testified that the very weapon that was used to shoot Mr. and Mrs. Perry was purchased hours prior to this incident. He testified that the defendant purchased that firearm at a gun store at around 4:30 that same day in Sherman, Arkansas. Detective Roberts told us that he spoke to Ray Palladino, the general manager of that sporting goods store. From Mr. Palladino, he received the surveillance footage. And that surveillance footage showed the defendant coming in, purchasing a gun, purchasing ammunition, and leaving. Mr. Palladino also provided Detective Roberts with a receipt. That receipt had the defendant's first and last name on it. It had the serial number of the Ruger handgun that she purchased and the last four digits of her credit card. It's the same credit card that Detective Roberts discovered in the defendant's vehicle when he searched it. We also heard from Dr. Curry. Now, Dr. Curry testified that she performed Mr. Perry's autopsy. She testified that the cause of death was multiple gunshot wounds and the manner of death was homicide. She testified to recovering the bullets, placing them in an envelope, initialing and dating them, and leaving them to be picked up. But Dr. Curry isn't the only doctor we heard from. Defense put on Dr. Bidding. Dr. Bidding was hired by the defendant and her team. And you heard her, she testified that she has testified for more defendants than she has prosecution. And ladies and gentlemen, think carefully about what she told you. She told you that depression and someone being suicidal does not mean that they cannot form the intent to kill someone. She also told you that she didn't even offer an opinion as to the defendant's mental state at the time of the offense. So what do we need? We need an unlawful killing, intent, premeditation. Unlawful killing. Well, there was no self-defense claim. And the only other firearm found in the residence, found in the crime scene, was in a box under a nightstand in a completely separate room. Intent. I wanted him to feel the pain that I felt. He broke my heart. You heard that from the defendant herself. Premeditation. We'll take your pick. Whether it's the drive to the gun store, the time it took to purchase, choose, a firearm and ammunition, the time it took to drive 3 hours to Memphis to her ex-boyfriend's house, or the 20-minute conversation she had when she finally went up to their apartment. Criminal attempt first-degree murder. So in your jury instructions, you'll see what's on the screen right here. And that's a lot of words. But the judge has given you the law. And the best way that I can describe it is that the defendant must have an intent to commit first-degree murder. But they fell short for some reason. The act wasn't complete. And that's how you have criminal attempt first-degree murder. We heard from Tabitha Perry, and she testified that she was shot in the shoulder. After the incident, she was transported to the hospital, and the doctors left the bullet inside of her. It wasn't until later that she had to get it surgically removed. It was causing her extreme pain. And by the time that she got it removed, it was poking out of her back. And even today, 6 years later, she is still suffering from pain from that incident. Now let's talk about transfer of intent. You heard in your jury instructions that sometimes when you intend to kill one person and you don't kill that person, but you kill another person, that is how the transfer intent happens. Tabitha Perry testified that when she spoke to the police, she told them that she didn't even believe that the defendant meant to hurt her. But that's okay, because you don't have to actually hit your intended target to be charged and convicted of criminal attempt first-degree murder. As long as you had the intent to kill one person It doesn't matter that you accidentally shot or you actually shot someone else. Your intent is still there. The only thing that's different is the person that got hurt. Employing a firearm during a dangerous felony. So on the screen here, it says that any person who employs a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony is guilty of a crime. The state has to prove that one, that the defendant employed a firearm. Two, the employment was during the commission of or attempt to commit criminal attempt first degree murder against the alleged victim, Tabitha Perry. And three, that the defendant acted intentionally, knowing, or recklessly. In addition to Mrs. Perry's testimony, we heard from Captain Draper, Officer McLean, and Special Agent Roxane. Draper testified that he and McLean were a few of the officers that responded to the crime scene on the offense day. And when he got there, he witnessed the defendant holding a firearm. She refused to comply with orders. Captain Draper testified to the non-lethal force that was used to unarm her. Officer McLean testified to securing and clearing the weapon that the defendant had in her possession. He noticed that there was nothing in the chamber, but yet there was a magazine in the gun. Special Agent Sane testified to the ballistics. He examined the Ruger, the casings, and the bullets from the medical examiner. He determined that all the cartridge cases and the bullets had been fired from that same handgun that was recovered off of the defendant. And now we're back at the beginning. You broke my heart. So I'm gonna purchase a firearm. You broke my heart. So I'm going to purchase ammunition. You broke my heart. So I'm going to take that gun and the ammunition and drive 3 hours away to your home. You broke my heart. So I'm going to knock on your door. You broke my heart. I'm going to sit there and talk with you and your wife for about 20 minutes. You broke my heart, so I decide to leave. You broke my heart, so I'm gonna shoot you and kill you in your doorway, and along the way, shoot your wife. But it's okay, because you broke my heart. Decision after decision after decision. Ladies and gentlemen, if a broken heart was an excuse or a defense to murder, I wouldn't have a job. The standard of proof in this case is beyond a reasonable doubt. Not 100% certainty, not beyond all doubt, not beyond a shadow of a doubt. What's required is certainty that lets you rest easy at night. And now it's your turn. After you consider all of the evidence and apply the law that the judge has given you, and use your common sense, the state is confident that your verdict will be guilty as charged. Don't let a broken heart distract you from the human life that was lost. Thank you.
May we approach?
Yes. All right, jurors, I want to remind you that the lawyer's statements are not evidence, and you can have no prejudice or sympathy or allow anything but the law and the evidence to have any influence upon your verdict. You must render your verdict with absolute fairness and impartiality as you think justice and truth dictate. So we're going to take a short recess, and then we'll be back for the next closing argument. So, and we're still not ready to discuss the case. Okay, so I'm going to show you the excuse for about 5 minutes, and we'll come right back. passes.
Thank you. I'm going to step down the restroom real quick.
You from the very beginning that Ms. Daniels is not denying what happened. She is not saying, I have no responsibility, I have no accountability. That is not our position, and it has not been our position from the first time that we talked in Wood-Eye. We told you she is guilty of something, but she is not guilty of first-degree murder and criminal attempt, first-degree murder and employing a firearm during felony. That is not what these facts illustrate, unless you're looking at them from far, far away and ignoring all of the details and all of the intent. When I was in high school, one of the formative trips that I took, my mom and I went to Barcelona, and we went to the Museum of Salvador Dali. This man had the most amazing brain. He could paint pictures that from far away looked like one thing, and then when you got close up on them, looked like something completely different. And I will never, ever forget standing in the top balcony of that museum, looking across the way and seeing this. And there's a little plaque that tells you, squint your eyes and look at it. What do you see? I saw Abraham Lincoln. I absolutely saw Abraham Lincoln. And then, when you walk back around, they tell you how to get up there. This is that painting close up. It's something completely different. Not only a different picture, but an entirely different emotional response. You would never think that that was the Abraham Lincoln that you had just seen. But that can be the difference between looking at something from far, far away and ignoring the details versus seeing the intricacies of what it is actually made of. I want to talk to you first about Brodus Perry. We've heard a lot about him this week. He was a pastor at St. Mark Baptist Church in Little Rock. He was the leader of the life groups there. He was married to Tabitha Perry. This is what people standing far away saw. But when you got much more close, when you got to know Brodus Perry, the way Latasha knew Brodus Perry, you started to see a different side. And sometimes even then, you miss it. He was a manipulative person. I know that he is not here anymore, and that is a tragedy. But that doesn't change the fact that during his time on earth, he manipulated the women in his life. He was controlling, and he wanted this lifestyle of ethical non-monogamy. Regarding the ethical non-monogamy, that was, when I talk about the manipulation of women in his life, that was a big source of it. He manipulated Tabitha into thinking, oh, well, this is just something that I thought about. It's okay that you don't want to do it. He manipulated Chrishell and Danielle, who he had the Marco Polo group with, in that he made this whole fiction where his wife was completely on board with this, and he was living this open, honest, and transparent lifestyle where he was ethically engaging in non-monogamy. As a pastor of the church looking for a group of people who would sanction his behavior, he found these women, educated women, and lied to them about this. He manipulated Latasha in so many ways. But regarding the ethical non-monogamy, his position was, my wife says it's okay, so my girlfriend should not be saying no. Even to Latasha, he lied about Tabitha being opposed to this lifestyle. When Latasha got involved, she thought Tabitha was on board with this ethical non-monogamy. And she was not. We heard from Brodus Perry manipulating these women.
Those are an issue at home, but I get it, but it ain't an issue. I have been, though, so if we're talking, let's switch subject and get a little more serious. You know, for me, our agreements have been simple, right? No exes, nobody from Jacksonville, Florida, which is home for us, and nobody in the city that you live in, that you currently live in, which means nobody in Memphis. That was the case, of course, in Little Rock, outside of girlfriend, because girlfriend is in Little Rock. The way that kind of happened is, short version, when she decided to open up the marriage and allow me to be open inside her. Girlfriend is a therapist, right? And she didn't go to her for therapy, but she asked her some questions. And based on this therapy session she had with this other lady. And she was asking her some questions after she had just said, bro, this is what I'm going to let you do, blah, 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 you know, it is what it is. But from there, she asked her some questions. And so she was like, I just got a couple questions for you. And, you know, they were going to play tennis together. She was one of my life group leaders. And so we had rapport. We had rapport. And she asked a question and was like, yeah, blase, blase, I'm thinking about this. And what do you think about this? Or what do you think X, Y, and Z could potentially become? And I'm sorry, I'm looking to see who was in the cigar lounge, because this is not what I really frequent that often. So yeah, I'm kind of careful about who potentially is in here, because I don't want the glass all pass. You know, I really want to go in and go chill in the back, but yeah, I'm not a member. But yeah, I'm trying to make the only way in here now. But anyway, so the next thing that she shared with her was, you know my husband like you, right? Well, he thinks you're attractive. And she was like, what? He's like, yeah, I know what he likes, and he thinks you're attractive. Not that he's been rude or anything like that. We've had conversations. Well, you know, we did. Because, like, one time we was sitting around having a watch. And she asked me, I was like, well, you got to get her. I ain't going to get her. I'm coming across with this, like, this creepy guy, right? We're trying to spice things up. And in that regard, even though that was even somewhat limited with the idea of somebody watching me, that's neither here nor there. But when the question came up, it was her, right? That shit she asked. Well, who would you want? And that was the first thing I said. She's like, I know you like her. I know what. So anyway, so she said, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, if you were interested, just, now, I'm not saying that you are, but I'm also saying I've given him this X, Y, and Z, and he may come your way. And she did. But she's like, okay, cool. So we had a conversation. And after that, that's when the whole nobody in the city thing came. But it was more like, I'll give you a pass with her because I essentially gave you the alley. But nobody, you know, nobody. So I'm trying to figure this. So fast forward, I said a whole lot of shit, right? Trying to get the way. But, so I have been thinking about, you know, the past couple weeks in terms of expanding, you know, my ethical non-monogamy, and it's kind of, so my wife, you know, her and I, we were chatting over there. I was like, well, baby, I got a couple questions. I'm just curious, you know. She knows about the group, you know, everything like that. So I was like, when did you want to know? You know, like, when did you want to know that there's someone who has my interest and someone who I would like to pursue? Do you want to know the moment that I feel like it's more than just banter? Do you want to know at the moment that I would like to begin to banter? Do you want to know once I feel like it might be a thing beyond banter? Or what? You know, because this is kind of new for us, right? Because, you know, girlfriend, Tasha, that's easy. That's been 2 years. That's been it for the most part. Outside of me going, that's out my birthday. But it's kind of been easy in that regard. So just trying to figure out what does that look like. So I'm just kind of really thinking through where I am with that, right? You know, where I, in terms of those. So there's a lot of newness. Kind of said that just to say that there's still. There's still a lot of newness even in this ethical non-monogamy that I'm wrestling with. And it's fun, right? It's fun, it's interesting, it's causing us to communicate and chat and really talk again about different things that we've kind of, in a real sense, have been settled to some degree. But realizing that in this ethical non-monogamy, we gotta keep things in pencil and not pen. You know, some things are in pencil, pen, right? There's some hard news. But gotta be flexible in terms of what that looks like. So that's why I know you're talking about being sprung and giddy and all that stuff. I think because that those flutters of those emotions, right, of those initial thoughts are all kind of new and very much new because this person is brand new. Like, I don't know Sheree, right? I knew Tasha. That was different. There was some level of familiarity there. And that's typically how I've always engaged with her, right, with some level of familiarity. I cannot, whether being in the same class again in terms of college or something like that, I've never kind of quote unquote cold called anyone. You know, if that makes sense. Because I don't think I'm that guy. So, yeah. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. I don't know if I'm going to go in here, but now I'm thinking how far would we need to go downtown. Because I'm like, it's a lot of folk in there. I don't know if I trust who's in that room right now. Shit. I just need to do better with smoking houses, cigar houses. Now, I come in, I'm just, you know, your opinion matters to me because we are in this relationship. But at the same time, you know, like I told us from the outset, I want to be respectful, but I also want to let you know that, you know, your opinion matters. But at the same time, I don't want you to put me in a box, right? Because while we talk about it in theory, this is now the practice part. And with Tab being perfectly fine with, you know, the situation, because how I've handled and been honest and transparent and open with her with regard to this current relationship, me expanding it is not an issue for me. Basically, she told me, hey, we can talk about it when you think it's worth talking about. But the way that you handle this, I'm fine with, and I trust your judgment because you haven't given me a reason not to. It's not, I mean, it's only 2 hours away, but yes, we were in Little Rock, so we were literally, that because it was at that point, you know, wife was like, yeah, nobody at home. Like, this is an exception because I kind of threw you that, but no, you ain't dealing with nobody at home. Like, that was Jacksonville, so our heart knows that no Jacksonville, which is hometown for us, no exes, and no place in your current city. Those are the hard no's, right? She got an exception because it was there that she realized, well, yeah, I don't think I want him to be dealing with all these people, all these women, and no doubt these women would be in the church because that's all we do is kind of hang around. Or in the community are close enough, so it was kind of one of those things. But
those are clips from approximately 13 videos. where he talks and talks and talks, and none of it is true. None of it.
You heard Tabitha sitting on the stand saying, "My hard nose were all of those things and then some. My hard nose were him seeing anyone outside of our marriage." But that's not what he told Chriselle. That's not what he told Danielle. That's not what he told Latasha. He created this world of lies, this alternate reality in this chat room where he got everything that he wanted. He got validation. He got to have this lifestyle where he was cheating on multiple women, and it was okay. It was okay that he, as a pastor, do those things. That's what those women gave him. And for Latasha, she gave him whatever he wanted. And Tabitha was his wife. He took and took and took from these women. And the whole time, he was lying to all of them. I want to talk to you about Latasha Daniels. From far away, Latasha appears to be a professional, educated, well-rounded woman. She's a licensed clinical social worker and went into a profession to help people. Church member, active in the church, a life group leader, selected among the thousands of people in the church and placed into a position of leadership by Brodus Perry. Did you notice in the one video he said, "What I typically do is engage with women from a position of familiarity"? He knew how to attract the type of woman that he was looking for. And Latasha, when you got to know her and you got to see all of the details that make her up, she was exactly what he was looking for. She was so vulnerable because of the happiness being completely drained from her marriage, from the total lack of any emotional connection with her husband of 8 years. The traumatic history that she has had since a childhood and always being told to keep a good face on. Her history of mental health, depression, suicidal ideations, suicidal attempts. Her dependency on other people. He knew that when he got his claws in her, she would do anything to keep him with her, including keeping his secrets. He also knew that Latasha would have to keep his secrets because she had just as much to lose as he did. He had to have someone who was in a good job, with a good appearance, because if they found out about this affair with the pastor, she would lose everything. All of her clients, the life that she had built up in the church, her family's opinion, all of it would be gone. And he reminded her of that. From far away, their relationship, it was an affair. It was absolutely wrong, and it was neither of them took Tabitha's feelings into consideration. Neither of them. And they should have. Tabitha did not deserve that. But especially at the beginning, if you looked at that relationship more closely, there was a lot of love there.
Latasha built her life around this man. He liked bourbon, so she started learning bourbon. He liked cigars, so she started learning about cigars. She got him into running with her. They joined a biking club together. All of these things that they built, and this woman who came into this relationship so starved for love and affection was receiving it, finally. And she never wanted that to stop. But when you looked at it more closely, you could also see Brodus behaving in a very controlling way, in a very manipulative way. And Latasha was getting slung back and forth between these emotions of, oh, I love you. No, we're gonna have some distance. This back and forth, back and forth, pulling her heart in two pieces. And I will disagree with the state, because part of something that they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt is intent. And one of the things that you have to look at is whether a heat of passion was present. And a broken heart definitely has to do with heat of passion. There is no emotion more powerful in this world than love.
There's more of the Preacher's Side Chick murder trial of Latasha Daniels coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.